God. Hack with Tom Tilley, Triple J.
Hello. Today on Hack, we're talking about faking orgasms. And I imagine when I say that, you're probably assuming I'm talking about girls faking it. Like Sally in Harry Met Sally.
I'll have what she's having.
Well, men also fake orgasms. Yeah, it's possible and it happens regularly.
It's become quite awkward. You know, you use a condom, or if you don't, you know, there's always questions asked by the girl at the end of it.
Well, one question to ask is how men actually get away with it, but also why do men fake orgasms?
Hack with Tom Tilley, Triple J.
If you're a man that's ever faked an orgasm, I'd love to hear from you right now. I'd love to find out why and how you did it. Also, if you're a girl or a gay guy that's busted a man faking an orgasm or suspected a man faking an orgasm, I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call.
Hack 1-300-055-36 or text 0439-75-7555.
We'll take your calls in just a moment, but first Joe Lauder meets two guys who faked it for two different reasons.
My girlfriend was a little bit more adventurous and I guess a bit more of a nymph than I was.
Sol found himself faking it a few times a month in his last relationship. He reckons he couldn't keep up with his girlfriend's sexual needs, so sometimes he'd pretend.
It's a little 50-50. Definitely it played on my conscience that I didn't want her to feel like she wasn't arousing me or wasn't able to make me come to climax. But on the same note also, a few of the times it's just we'd been having sex for quite a while and I was just sort of over it. So instead of making it just going, okay, enough's enough, I would fake an orgasm to just sort of go, okay, sweet, everything's done now, great, we can go to sleep.
Here's how we faked it.
You sort of put on a bit of a funny face and make a few noises. When I personally faked it, I just act as if I was coming towards climax and then let out a sort of a big sigh of relief and then just sort of stop as if as if I was out of breath and the job had been done.
But even with that performance, he didn't always get away with it.
We weren't using condoms because she was she had birth control pills and so we never used them. So it was a little bit awkward on a few occasions where I had faked it and there was sort of no evidence of what had happened. So I just sort of bluffed it and just went, oh, that's strange.
Yeah, me and my partner split up when I was 30 and then pretty much everyone that I've been with since then, it's been, I've had to fake.
Matt never had a problem in bed until he broke up with his wife 3 years ago. Since then, he hasn't been able to come when he's having sex and he's been caught out trying to fake it.
I'm not the best actor. No, I've been busted heaps, plenty of times, but I just put it down to, it's one of those things, we might have been out that night, and I've just had too much to drink you get away with it sometimes you don't, but it really doesn't worry me at the end of the day because I'm probably never going to see the person again.
Considering Matt's problem only started when he broke up with his wife, he thinks it's a psychological issue.
I think that's what it is. I think it's just an intimacy thing. I've got to really like the girl, like a lot, for it to happen. And that's what I think, maybe one day when I do finally settle down, it'll change, I hope.
Matt says he fakes it so he doesn't hurt the feelings of the girl he's sleeping with.
You'll get, nice girls and they'll just be like, what is wrong with me? And it's hard to explain, but it's definitely not them. It's something's wrong with me.
Sol says he sometimes faked it with his ex-girlfriend just to keep her happy.
The whole thing about guys only having sex for the self-gratification isn't really true. We're also very conscious about what our partners feel and don't want to hurt their feelings at the same time.
Oh, God!
Hack with Tom Tilley, Triple J.
Yes, Joe Lauder reporting there. You are listening to Triple J's Hack program. And today on the show, we're talking about faking orgasms. Now, there's a lot of research around this, even if you're hearing about it for the first time. And there's been a book released in the US. It's by an author called Dr. Abraham Morgan Taylor. It's called Why Men Fake It, The Truth About Men and Sexuality. And Dr. Abraham says he was shocked the first time a young man told him that he'd been faking it.
So I've been doing sexual medicine for 25 years, but I'd never encountered this before. And about 6 or 7 years ago, this 25-year-old guy comes in and he tells me that he's faking orgasms with his girlfriend. And when he was just dating casually, he thought he was a big stud because he could just keep going forever and ever. But when he fell in love with this woman, who I've given the name Sarah to, not her real name, he quickly sensed that she was feeling badly about her own feminine skills and sex appeal, if you will, because she couldn't get him to climax. So he started faking his orgasms. And I used it as the lead story in this book, Why Men Fake It, because it's really about the mind of man. And David started faking his orgasms really in an effort to be kind towards Sarah. He wanted her to feel good about herself. And I think it's really been the theme that I've seen that's totally different from the male stereotype where guys are supposed to be selfish, only interested in their own pleasure. In fact, what I see is the complete opposite, which is that men want very, very much to actually be a great sexual provider. That's where they get their sense of masculinity from in a sexual relationship.
So let's go to David's story. I mean, what did you think when he told you he was faking it? Had you heard of that before?
It totally stunned me. I thought it was amazing. You know what's funny is that since I heard that story, though, I've done some research and also started talking to many of my patients, colleagues, and of course I talk about sex to almost anybody. And what's funny is that I've discovered that a few dozen of my patients have done the same thing. And then the funniest thing is, as I've done some interviews for my new, you know, this book that's come out, I've actually had a few interviewers tell me on air that they have faked orgasms from time to time.
Well, I can tell you right now that I haven't.
There is one study in the United States out of the University of Kansas that where they asked younger college age, university age people, men and women, whether they had ever faked orgasms. And I believe the number was 21% of the men said that they had on at least one occasion. That's not a small number.
Wow.
And the reasons that men do it turn out to be pretty similar to the reasons that women fake it, which is to bring an end to the evening's activities in a way that feels kind and positive towards the other person.
That's Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, a Harvard Medical School researcher who's worked for decades treating men's sexual health. And someone texted in saying, I've faked it before many a time. The main reason is if I have satisfied my partner and had enough, I'd fake it. Pato from Maitland. Another person says, my wife and I use condoms and sometimes I don't even come, though I am hard. This is a pretty graphic show, by the way, today. So if this is not the sort of content you want to be listening to or wants a younger person to be listening to, then there will be a bit more of it throughout the show. Another person says, I take antidepressants and that makes getting an erection difficult. So lots of different reasons why men are faking it. I'd love to hear your story. 1-300-055-36 is the number. Fabian from Brisbane, you've got some rules around faking it. What is it?
I'm always wearing protection, you know, it's sort of thing that I really sort of am an advocate of and all that. And but for me, like, I work huge hours every week. I train 5-6 days a week, and you know, I used to love to go motorbike riding and spearfishing and all that. And I really don't have time to get my sleep in, to recover from my training, to spend all night doing that sort of stuff. And a lot of the time, you know, if I'm on a timeline, I'll go around and see someone or girlfriend or whatever comes around, and I want to go motorbike riding my mates at this time. That's the time we've made, and things take longer than expected. You know, like, that's a way to be like, oh yeah, oh gee, that was good, and then I can go motorbike riding. I can have sex and everyone's happy, and it doesn't bother me that I have an orgasm because I'm going motorbike riding, which is, you know. So, yeah, it's for me. Like, I don't know.
So, what do you say to your mates? Do you rock up on time and go, guys, so glad to be here on time. I had to fake an orgasm just to do it.
Anyone who does know me, and Fabian's not a very common name, so people that do know me know that I'm very open with many things like that between my friends. And yeah, I'll tell them and have a good joke about it. So.
But yeah. Why can't you just orgasm normally or do it quickly? Because a lot of people have the problem where they orgasm too quickly.
Well, actually, that's an issue for a lot of guys a lot of the time, and it depends how you feel towards a girl. To me, it's very psychological. If a girl's going to come, it usually means, well, she's about to finish, you know, the race. I'm going to go and beat her. But, you know, if she's not going to come for a while, then I won't. But it's the sort of thing where, yeah, like, it just depends. Sometimes you go longer, sometimes you don't. Yeah. Whether you're in the mood and...
Yeah, so, okay. Well, Fabian, sounds like you're more in the mood for motorbike riding than getting it on, but thanks for the call.
No worries, mate. Thanks a lot.
Well, you heard a bit about Fabian's logic there, and he always uses a condom when he has sex, and that's part of his routine for faking it. But in case you're wondering, we've actually spoken to a guy called Pete who was a male escort for 5 years, and for him, faking it was part of his business, basically. So here is Pete's guide to faking it for men.
I never got caught out while I was working with it, not once. The first thing that you need to know, it's all about muscle control. There are two different ways to achieve it. Mostly it's all about pelvic floor muscle. If you want to fake it with a condom, the idea is to contract your pelvic floor rhythmically in similar fashion to the wood when you're having an orgasm, when you're ejaculating. What you do then, when you're finished, you just take the condom off and quickly wrap it up and dispose of it. Without a condom, you're back into having your muscle control in your pelvis. You contract rhythmically as you would normally during an ejaculation. But the trick is to replace it with a different liquid. Usually some saliva is perfect. And a little bit of spit on your fingers and place it in the appropriate place. That way they really don't know for sure. The fact that there's no extra fluid there is the biggest giveaway.
Tom Tilley, Triple J.
Oh, wow, some pretty graphic detail there from Pete, who can fake an orgasm either way, with or without a condom. James from Hamilton's called in. James, you faked it with a girl you really liked. How did you fake it?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Yeah, I'd been seeing this girl for a while and started, you know, kissing her and stuff, and she wouldn't on the basis, you know, the moral high ground, whatever, and then finally got her in bed and I had to pee really bad, and she was kind of sitting on my bladder. And, I thought if I just fucked it, then she'd feel satisfied that she'd satisfied me, and then it would happen again. And then I faked it, and I ran out and obviously had to pee. And I told one friend, and he ended up telling everybody.
No.
And so, yeah, she never wanted to have anything to do with me again because of my dick friend.
Wow, so she didn't realize herself. You actually got away with it.
Yeah, no, I actually did get away with it. I think she was a bit suspicious because, like, I pulled the condom off and threw it underneath the bed immediately.
You got to play it a bit cooler, James. You got to just slowly pull it out, toss it in the bin and somehow cover it up.
You know, maybe give it a couple of twirls around the finger and then flick it off into the bin. No, but, yeah, then it was actually kind of sad. Not sad, but, like, yeah, I never got to hang out with her again.
Why do you think she didn't want to see you again? Like, was it the dishonesty or was it the sexual shame for her or both?
No, it was the sexual shame, I think. Like, the fact that I pretty much told her.
It's a pretty sensitive one, and James has just dropped off the line there. Gavin from Brisbane, you've faked it before, and actually the first time you ever had sex.
So basically I guess I built it up so much in my head, and then when it came down to it, I don't know, it was fun, but then it just kind of wasn't happening. I kept kind of looking over at the clock, and then after, I don't know, quite a while, I thought, I'll just fake it. So, I kind of did, you know, let out a bit of a groan, and then after that, yeah, I acted like
did. You do
did.
a bit of a Sally and when Harry met Sally in the cafe? Were you pretty loud? Were you pretty convincing?
I guess I was. Hopefully.
Okay, anyway. And what happened after that? I mean, were you in love with this girl? Did this relationship continue, or was that it?
I thought at the time, being 16, but it did continue, and then later on it wasn't a problem, but since then, I guess, I haven't faked it at all. I've just kind of got to the stage where I thought, I'm just a little bit tired. Oh, don't worry. Like, I, you know, do everything.
Okay, so you deal with it up front now. You're able to talk through it.
Yeah, I'll just be like, I'm not pretty tired. And, you know, as long as, like, I guess I fix them up, that sounds bad. But after that, I'm like, oh, that's okay. We'll get it next time. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring it up that you're able to talk it through, because that's been the problem for a lot of guys. And you heard from the doctor from the US, Abraham Morgenthaler, that for a lot of guys, that they felt really ashamed by that. Do you feel ashamed sometimes that a woman can't get you to orgasm and you have to sort of basically admit that to her?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I thought, like, I have no idea why it wasn't working. Like, I'd be with somebody and obviously, you know, I find them really attractive, and sometimes there was just nothing they were doing and nothing that I thought I was doing. It just wasn't working. So they were like, oh, you're a hard one to crack. But then, you know, I just kind of said, oh, you know, don't worry about it. I'm just, you know, pretty tired and, you know, a lot going on at the moment. And just kind of, yeah.
Work's really stressful. Yeah, it's tough times. Yeah, all right. Well,
yeah, I don't know if it worked though. But yeah.
Good luck, Gavin. Thanks so much for the call. Yep. Let's go to Moffy on the Central Coast. Moffy, you faked it, but you got caught. What happened?
Yeah, mate. Bit of a horror story. I was seeing a Kiwi girl for a bit, and it's not an uncommon problem. But did it once, got away with it. The second time, used a condom and snuck off to the bathroom. I got done putting soap into the condom, and she went nuts. She lost it.
Hang on, just talk me through this. So you finish getting it on, you fake it, you make all the right noises, the facial expressions, you grip her tightly, then it's all over. You go off into the bathroom, you've got one of those little hand pumps pumping soap into the condom?
Exactly right, yeah. So I've done all the movements, I've got the perfect muscle movement going down, ran up to the bathroom to get rid of it, and didn't know that she was going.
Hang on, what was your plan? You were going to fill it with soap and then just put it somewhere really obvious, like right next to the bed?
I was going to leave it on the sink for her.
Oh, nice. You are one smooth mover, Moffy. So she catches you in the act. What did she say?
Oh, she just goes, what the F is this? What do you mean? And, like, obviously I'm caught red-handed. And I just said, oh, yeah, I'll just buggered tonight. And she grabbed the condom and soap went everywhere, over me, over her. and she just kicked me out of the house, eh?
Did you ever see her again?
She tried to hook up with me again a week later. But
she knew you were pretty ingenuitive, at least.
Yeah, and like I put in a pretty good effort too, so I was pretty proud of that. But it was just too embarrassing for both of us, I reckon. Like, she tried again, but she was blind when she did. But it was word traveled pretty fast, and I definitely won't do it again.
And was that just a one-off for you, Moffy? Was it something that just happened with that particular girl at that particular time? Like potentially you had too much to drink, or is it an ongoing thing for you?
It's happened every now and then, especially when I'm drunk, I can't go or on any drugs. But generally, it's not a problem at all. Every now and then, I don't fake it there because I have a wife now. So I just tell her full stop, it's not happening. But it does come back here and there, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And a lot of these conversations that we're having with people, Moffy, demonstrate that men don't fit that stereotype of just wanting to fulfill their own needs in the bedroom.
Oh, no, I get off more on making her happy.
You are a sweet, very creative man, Moffy. Thank you so much for the call.
No worries.
Well, a recent Australian study actually says that 9% of men have a problem with being too slow to orgasm. And Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, who wrote Why Men Fake It, says that's a problem that actually can be worked on.
Some men just have trouble having an orgasm with intercourse, and sometimes even on their own. One of the common reasons these days is a side effect of some of the medications, especially the antidepressant medications that go by the category or name SSRI, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These are the antidepressants like Paxil and Prozac and Zoloft and Effexor, and they're now used so commonly in my country, in the United States, and my guess is in Australia as well. Not just for depression, but also anxiety and all sorts of reasons. But they have a very common side effect, which is that they lower the sex drive, and they also can make it difficult for men or women to actually have an orgasm. For some men, alcohol makes it impossible for them. In some cases, and David was a good example of this, is that most guys learn to the pleasures of sexual touching by themselves 5, 6, 7, sometimes 10 years before they actually ever have intercourse. And they do it with masturbation, and often it's by accident when they're 11 or 12. They just have these pleasurable sensations. But some of the ways that the guys learn to do that when they're young produce different kind of stimulation than what happens when the penis is inside a vagina. They're just not trained to climax with that kind of stimulation. And part of the challenge then for a specialist like myself is to try and get them to be retrained.
So tell me about David's situation. What was it about his early sexual development that led him to a point where he was having trouble orgasming?
His first sexual experience on it was by himself, of course. And he was actually just rubbing himself against the mattress. And that was the way that he would pleasure himself. And part of the trick for David to help him have an orgasm during intercourse was actually to get some stimulation on the underside more than the rest of the shaft. And I also did what I thought was a cute trick in there with David, which was to recreate some of the memories of that first amazing experience he had. But I'm going to leave the details of that to those people who want to read the book, which is Why Men Fake It.
Well, I can tell the listeners it involves a certain smell as well, which reminded him of that time. But that worked for him, Abraham?
It did. It did. And, you know, and once guys have a kind of problem like that and you retrain somebody, you know, it's once you get the first success, it's easy to get additional successes.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Hack with Tom Tilley, Triple J.
Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler there, who wrote the book Why Men Fake It, and that is a topic for discussion on Hack today. And what a discussion it is. That story from Moffy was incredible. Getting busted, putting soap into a used condom after faking an orgasm, incredible. One person texted in saying, I faked it for years and years to make my wife feel better. The first time I got there during sex, I was 30. Now I've stopped porn and jerking off and I have no trouble. Another person says, I had to fake an orgasm. I did feel ashamed. I thought she would think I watched too much porn. And it's very interesting that you guys are bringing up the topic of porn, because one of the biggest influences on male sexuality and sexual dysfunction has been the rise of internet porn. And the difference now compared to 10 years ago is that A, it's way more accessible, and B, there are many different types and intensities of a contemporary porn. Now, Linda Carlisle is a sex and relationship therapist who practices in Melbourne. Now, Linda, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
Now, Linda, do you think porn has contributed much to this problem of men not being able to get to orgasm and then needing to fake it?
Well, it's becoming more apparent in recent times. And what we're finding is that it's, I mean, I'm coming across a lot of younger clients that have never really masturbated without using porn. So they've got it on their iPhones, they've had it from a young age. And so what they do is that they train themselves. And so they set up coming to a particular type of scene, or often they have a really tight grip. I mean, other ways, you know, people train themselves is by withdrawing for contraception as well. And then when they actually want to start ejaculating inside, they find that they can't. But the porn thing just changes arousal pathways.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And we heard about arousal pathways from Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, who said that for a lot of guys who have their first sexual experiences through masturbating, they develop these pathways as well through that process in a very natural way that don't end up matching up with heterosexual intercourse.
Well, that's the other thing that porn does, is that it actually defines what sex is supposed to look like. So, I mean, the parameters are, it has to last a long time. How long is a piece of string question? Also that both partners have orgasms. And so obviously we've been talking for a long time about women faking orgasms and the difficulties that a quarter of women have in reaching an orgasm in sex. Now, obviously, men are feeling that pressure to respond as well. So it's just easier to fake it than to have their partner feel bad.
Rachel's called in. Rachel, your ex faked it all the time. Were you getting wise to it?
Oh, yeah, I could tell. I could tell pretty much as soon as it happened the first time. But
did you bust him?
No, I didn't, actually, because he was on medication at the time for depression. And so for me, I think that probably deep down, you know, like I was with him for a number of years, and I think that deep down he probably knew that I knew, but I felt that if I brought it up directly, I kind of came around it indirectly by saying, you know, sometimes I don't feel connected to you, and that it makes me feel bad about myself when you're not engaged with me. But that was kind of coming at it from his depression side of things.
But is that a good way to go about it? I mean,
he
knows you're not bringing up the real issue there, but he's still getting all the pain of knowing that you're not satisfied.
I guess that's the challenge, though, isn't it? Is that as a woman and in a relationship where I cared very deeply for him, I was worried that I would emasculate him in doing that. And because he didn't bring it up either, it kind of reinforced that he didn't want to talk about it, that it was too hard for him to have to face, because he didn't. I'm sure that he probably felt helpless in that situation, because it, and I guess that I appreciated that it was medication induced, because previous to him being on medication, we had a fantastic sex life.
Okay, yeah, very interesting to hear about the influence of medication there. Thanks for the call, Rachel. Andrew, you're on antidepressants. Has it affected you? Have you needed to fake it because of that?
Yeah, heavily. I came out of a heavy relationship and sort of got put on antidepressants once my depression kicked in full swing, and sort of was told about the effects of what they would do or could do. And I think that got to me more than maybe the actual antidepressants themselves. And once I sort of hit the single life and started trying to go out on the one-night stands, it sort of started kicking in a fair bit, and in the end I got so frustrated that I just sort of left it and stopped, you know, going out for girls and just sort of waited till I was comfortable with someone.
Have you been able to work through it now?
Yeah, definitely now. And I mean, but even coming into a relationship, I was still faking it, you know, the first once or twice, just to try and get past that and think, well, if I get comfortable with this person, it might get better. So, I mean, it was a fair push, but in the end now I'm happy, and it's definitely sorted out. But still have my off days, even when comfortable, but the medication, whether or not I try sex straight after medication or earlier in the day, still affects it and plays up with it. So,
yeah, very interesting to hear your experience there, Andrew. Thanks so much for the call.
No worries.
Linda Carlisle, what do you make of that situation? We heard two stories there where antidepressants had a role to play.
Stories that I hear really commonly, Tom. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind is that, you know, we like different things. We have different tastes, and some activities are more erotic than others. So because we have such a vested interest in intercourse being the be-all and end-all, I mean, what other marker is there for the end of sex if someone doesn't come? How do you finish sex off and it's all nice?
Yeah, particularly for the male, because, you know, as many females often complain, that often is the end point for a sexual intercourse. So what difference does it make to a man psychologically not to be able to hit that mark, so to speak?
Well, I mean, men are often anxious about their performance anyway. So, and that Australian study that you referred to, I found it really interesting to read that 45% of men felt anxious about their ability to perform in the previous year.
Mm.
So if your head's full of anxious and worrying thoughts, then it's not going to be really full of erotic thoughts. And that's where we have difficulty with building up that arousing stimuli to get us to ejaculation. So it's really important that you do something about it, and it is something that can be overcome.
But what does it mean, like, when a man is struggling in this department? I mean, you talked there about why that happens, but what effect does it have on a man when he can't do that? I mean, what sort of negative talk usually goes on in a man's mind?
Well, all of the, you know, most things around my work is to do with the meanings that people attach to stuff. I mean, sex is quite a complicated series of physical things that need to happen that we give meaning to. So, I mean, often guys will be worried that their partner thinks that they're gay or not attracted to them, or that they're having an affair, that they're weird. That's one that I hear quite often. You know, it's weird if a guy doesn't come at the end of sex. And then obviously all the reflected stuff, you know, with the narratives that the women also have around being inept, not being attractive enough, etc. So it's tricky.
One woman has texted in saying, as a woman who caught her husband faking an orgasm, I can tell you that it's more hurtful and shameful than talking about it. I mean, that goes to the point, right, Linda, that somehow, especially in an ongoing relationship, you've got to find a way to get this out in the open.
Absolutely, absolutely. And once it is out in the open and, you know, you have discussion around it and you realise that it doesn't mean that you're not that they're not enjoying sex or that they're not attracted to their partner, and that it's actually more of a stress for them. Most men that have delayed ejaculation or difficulty with orgasm, it's actually not so distressing for them, but they're really worried about their partners.
Yeah, one person texted in saying, I'm not sure if it's just my experience, but as a gay man, everyone's upfront about it, and if it ain't working, it ain't going to happen. That's an interesting perspective there. Just lastly, Linda Carlisle, the point of this book, Why Men Fake It, was really about discussing how the stereotype that men just want to please themselves is wrong, basically. I mean, do you agree with that? And do you think the stereotype and the sort of average male's experience of sexuality is changing?
I think so. I think that that is a classic stereotype, you know, and it's really black and white, but that shows one type of guy or a style of guy. But the vast majority are really loving partners. They want to be great sexual partners to their to their partner, and you know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. I try and look at flexibility. You know, if you're having trouble coming, you know, look at multiple stimulation. So, you know, tickling balls, scratching back, thinking fantasy, and identify and use your orgasm triggers as well. You know, what is it that gets you from that 9 to 10, and then try and use it in your couple sex as well.
Linda Carlisle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
That's Linda Carlisle, sex and relationship counsellor and therapist. If you want to keep talking about this very interesting topic, you can jump on the Facebook page, put up a wall post, and also you can just go onto Twitter and talk about it all night with your friends. It's very-